This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. West Liberty University is a four-year public university, and as it was established in 1837, it's also one of West Virginia's oldest higher education institutions. But lately, the university has been charting some choppy waters. Former President Robin Capehart is being investigated by the West Virginia Ethics Commission for possibly using university funds in private business ventures. The Faculty Senate expressed a lack of confidence as well in the current chief financial officer. And students' protests have broken out over the announcement of recent administrative policies. Glennis Board visited the university's campus this past weekend during graduation to get a feel for how students, faculty, and families are coping with some of this unrest. So, Glennis, how was graduation?
Oh, well, the scene was, of course, really cheerful this weekend. There was a lot of hope, a lot of excitement, a lot of emotion, celebrating achievements, pride in achievements, and the anticipation for the future of the class of 2015.
Did you get a chance to talk with some of the graduates about what's been going on at West Liberty for the past few months?
I did. I talked to 15 or 20 students, freshmen, graduating seniors, alumni. Quite a few of them were passionate about the subject of what's been going on there administratively. No one was really interested in speaking on the record, though. Some students were employed there at the university. They made it very clear that they weren't allowed to speak publicly on the issues. But they were the ones who seemed to know the most, of course, about what was going on. But everyone talked to me off the record, and their reactions really range from across the board. Some expressed a lack of confidence in leadership. Others seemed comfortable and confident about the university and its future. Alums talked about being impressed with the recent growth and the development on campus. Other current students expressed frustration with not being educated and not knowing enough about what was going on, not knowing how to feel. And in general, those who were displeased seemed to be really questioning priorities of the administration.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to talk to some parents, some family members?
I did, yeah. Those who came in from far away really had no idea what was going on. And those who were local residents knew a lot about what was going on, and they also expressed a lot of frustration.
About what?
Well, I think for many students and the local families, it really comes down to perceived fiscal responsibility or the lack thereof. On the one hand, the public has been informed that there have been some unilateral decisions to shut down programs and facilities to save money, while on the other hand, there were reports about the upper echelons of the organization getting large salaries and even raises. Students protested those unilateral decisions that were made to shut down the ceramics program, for example, and a building where students do a lot of arts performing. Ultimately, though, those decisions have been reversed.
Mm-hmm. How about the faculty? Did you get the chance to speak to any faculty members? Of course, it was the faculty that voted no confidence in the former president, Robin Capehart, and in the chief financial officer. So what did faculty have to say at graduation?
I spoke to a couple of faculty. One of the things I took away from those conversations is that there's some doubt as to whether or not the board is really getting all the information they need to make the best decisions possible for the university. One professor sat down just after the ceremony to talk with me. James Hazlett has been there for 16 years, an associate professor of graphic design. He's the newly elected faculty member to the Board of Governors. His has been a louder voice advocating for change in recent months, but I found him to be very hopeful about the current situation and the future. He has a lot of confidence in the interim president, John McCullough, and a lot of confidence in his colleagues, the faculty, and overall in the quality of education being served to students.
What has happened over the past few years is maybe, and I've used the word in the board meetings, as a disconnect between the board and what happens on campus. And my job now is to bridge that gap in any way that I can. And I believe it's already happening. So I feel very positive about the future. I feel like we're being listened to. I'm being invited to the table, and I intend to voice an opinion of the faculty and in the best way that I can.
Hazlett says he knows for certain that financial adjustments have been and are being made to take care of the needs of students. He acknowledges, as I think everyone does, that these are challenging times financially, especially for public institutions like West Liberty, that there's a real need for solid leadership that's attuned to the needs of students and faculty and administrators who are working hard to turn out educated, capable members of society.
The school has an interim president right now. You mentioned that. What is the timeline for getting a new president at West Liberty University?
Yeah. A search committee and timeline have already been established. It looks like the deadline to receive nominations and applications is in June, so a very aggressive search. They're advertising now, and they hope to have a new president taking office by January 1st of 2016.
Glennis Board, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Beth. My pleasure.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:49. A chance of some rain this morning, becoming partly cloudy and breezy today. Temperatures in the 70s to near 80 degrees, partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 40s, partly sunny on Wednesday with highs in the 60s.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Tamarack, where photographer Joe Elbert crafts found wood into collapsible furniture at I-77 exit 45 and TamarackWV.com.
West Virginia voters are more than a year and a half away from having to choose their next governor. But the ballot on the Democratic side is starting to fill up after a second candidate announced his intent to run yesterday. Billionaire coal baron Jim Justice made the announcement in White Sulphur Springs, just a mile or so down the road from his luxury resort, the Greenbrier. As Ashton Mara reports, Justice was quick to share stories of why he wants to be the next governor, but discussed very little when it came to policy.
I am now announcing my candidacy for the governor of West Virginia.
Justice officially announced his candidacy at the White Sulphur Springs Civic Center Monday after rumors of his intentions spread like wildfire throughout the state last week. The owner of the Greenbrier and Southern Coal, which operates mines in five Appalachian states, says the idea of holding the state's top political office has been on his mind for years.
To be perfectly honest, I've thought about it a long time, long time. And you know, it would be so easy if you were me to say, well, why fool with all the headaches? But, you know, it just won't leave me. It just keeps eating at me.
The former Republican says he will run as a Democrat, but has yet to officially file his candidacy papers with the Secretary of State's office.
I am much more suited to be a Democrat because I truly want to be the person that is trying to take up for the little guy.
Justice says he'll focus on creating jobs in West Virginia, especially in the southern coal fields, which he called, quote, hopeless, but shared few ideas of how to create those jobs. He did say, however, the current leadership isn't doing enough.
Many of the Republican side of the equation, they've been there. It's not like they're brand new. For some reason, we have not harmoniously worked well with one another, Democrats and Republicans.
Justice believes he can be the one to bridge the divide between the parties and get them to work together for the state. The West Virginia Republican Party, though, has already started lashing out against the newly minted candidate, pointing out his company's delinquent mine safety fines. An investigative report by NPR from November showed Justice's mining company owes more than $2 million in delinquent mine safety fines to the Federal Mine Safety and Health Administration. NPR's reporting says injury rates at those mines were nearly double the national average. An official with the mining company says they are in the process of paying off those delinquent fines, making $100,000 payments each month. Justice backed that statement after his announcement.
In all honesty, in the coal business today, we do have obligations. When it all really boils right down to it, we're taking care of them. We will take care of them.
Justice is expected in Charleston Tuesday morning to file his official paperwork to run for the office. Then we'll make stops in Clarksburg, Wheeling, and Martinsburg. So far, only State Senator Jeff Kessler has also registered to run for the Democratic nomination. Congressman David McKinley, Senate President Bill Cole, and Attorney General Patrick Morrissey are all considering runs on the Republican side. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in White Sulphur Springs.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.